Well, 3 hours now of Friday, the 13th open lines. We'll get going into that very soon. I want to tell you a little bit about our Larry King trip. And also, I had, you know the way I am with this little intuitiveness of mine. I had a disturbing dream last night. And you know how we are getting all this talk now of a summertime terrorist attack, and everybody's talking about this entire issue. My dream, I'm not going to say the whole thing, but I dreamed of an economic attack within the United States. That's what I saw. And it was done not necessarily for a tremendous amount of death and mayhem, though in some cases it occurred in my dream. It was done primarily to begin to hit us where it hurts, and that's in the pocketbook. And that was part of my dream. And I just wanted to go on record as saying I had that. And a couple little ones that I've had over the last couple years have come true. And I just wanted to get that on the record. Okay, on to something a little more pleasant, our Larry King show. Today, Tommy and I, Tommy's my producer, and he arranges everything for me. The guy is brilliant when it comes to detail. I don't have to worry about anything. Anyways, he's been talking to the King people for about 2 weeks plus, and so they got a car that came and picked us up today and took us to the CNN offices here in Los Angeles. And there I met, and I've met some of them, but I met them all this time, a lot of coast-to-coast guests who have been on the program before. You saw them. You saw them all. Former governor of Arizona, Fife Symington, was there. Stanton Friedman, Jesse Marcel Jr., Michael Shermer, the critic, who was on, and he'll be back again. He's our skeptic cage person. And, I mean, they just kept rolling in. Buzz Aldrin, he's been on the program. It's great to shake Buzz's hand, by the way. To be able to shake the hand of a guy who's been on the moon, absolutely fantastic experience. And, James Fox, of course, out of the blue producer, and that just—it was just a great time there. Program, I got to tell you, I am so glad we have coast to coast with our 3 to 4 hour block of programming on one subject, because even an hour just doesn't do it justice. And you know, there's a lot of commercial breaks in that hour of television, and I think they argued too much. You know, back and forth. And, you know, I'm more into the dialogue. I mean, you can let them argue for a little bit because it's good television, it's good radio, but you got to jump in and take over when it comes to that. So I thought that was a little too much. I thought Stanton did a great job. I had a lot of fun in my appearance there. And it was just a neat thing. But the behind the scenes, they grab you in and they put makeup on you. And so, you know, that was a strange experience, but that's television. I've done that before. And then they've got an expert who wires you up with a wireless microphone, and he comes and tests it. He turns it on. They put a little IFB where you get a little earpiece so they can talk to you in the control room in case you're going too long or something. They say, "Plank it off, stop." And that was it. And then they bring you in when it's time for your segment. I was in segment number 4, and then they kept me for the rest of the program. So I came in at the half hour of the 1 hour program, and there he was, Larry King. And it was so neat for me to meet him. I remember hearing Larry on the Mutual Radio Network a long, long time ago when I was a kid reporter in Detroit, and then a television producer. And, you know, nighttime radio way back evolved with a fellow by the name of Long John Neble in New York, who really wasn't syndicated all over the place, but he was big out there in the East Coast. And then really the first syndicated overnight guy was a fellow by the name of Herb Jepko out of Salt Lake City. And, you know, Herb did strange little things. Like he would give people 5 minutes of time maximum when they called in. And then he had like a little Tinkerbell sound, so that when they were getting close to that 5 minutes, he played Tinkerbell. I won't play Tinkerbell. But that was Herb Jepko. And then along came Larry King. And Larry, you know, just took over the overnight ratings and overnight radio in this country. It was huge. And when Larry retired, who moved in but Art Bell? And, of course, you all know about Art's career. And, by the way, Wednesday will be Art's tribute show here on the program. I'll tell you about that beginning of next week. And then here I am. And it was just kind of neat to be able to meet a guy that basically built the fort that you now occupy. And I'm not talking about format specifically, but I'm talking about this coveted time period, this overnight time period around the country. And, you know, Larry's in his 70s, and just a neat guy, nice guy. And, you know, he posed for pictures with people afterwards, and, you know, he knows his stuff, and he does it. He, you know, his style is very non-confrontational. Mine is generally that way sometimes. But it was just nice to see him, nice to meet him. You know, the program went by very fast. And again, I don't think an hour does it justice. It was great meeting Buzz Aldrin, but, you know, I had an impression he knows more than he said. I really do. And especially when I mentioned that Edgar Mitchell, who's a friend of this program, Apollo 14 astronaut, walked on the moon. Edgar believes we've been visited. He told me on this program, he's told me off the air that we've been visited, and he's been told that by high-level people. Now, he said, Edgar Mitchell, that he didn't see anything on the moon, but he believes it. And so I don't know. I just had this feeling that Buzz knows something, and he just didn't want to tell us. And, yes, he's been on the moon. I got a kick out of talking with him a little bit about that back in the green room. But it was a neat time. Then the program's over. We got back in the car and came and finished up coast to coast. I had come in here very early today to do a little prep for the program tonight. And here we are. I mean, it was just a nice experience. And, you know, we'll see what happens down the line with more appearances all over the place. But that was it with the Larry King Show. Friday the 13th, of course, you can't blame country singer Gene Watson. If you're into country, you know his name. He's a little superstitious about Friday the 13th. The 63-year-old Watson and his Farewell Party Band were on their way from Houston to perform on the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville when their bus ignited, caught fire just outside of Nashville. The blaze ignited from a broken axle shaft, spewing grease all over the place. A mechanic, before he had his first hit with Love in the Hot Afternoon in Texas, the native quickly went to work trying to extinguish the fire, and he did whatever he could. But he is very superstitious about Friday the 13th, and maybe you are too. So when we come back, it's Friday the 13th, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Some of you on hold from Father Daniel will keep you on hold during the open line portion to have your input. Let's go to our Friday the 13th line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Oh, George, it's wonderful to talk to you. I was born on Friday, July 13th, 1962.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. I kind of knew that I would get through. I've got to tell you that my life has been a series of bizarre bad luck followed by bizarre good luck.
Nothing in between for you.
Oh, no. And you know, it's gotten to the point where people just call me lucky. I don't know where to start with this.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me pull you along here, Lucky. Why don't you first of all give me your very favorite lucky story, and then we'll get the bad story.
Very favorite lucky.
What's the greatest story thing that ever happened to you?
The greatest thing that ever happened to me was graduating from the local college with a degree in communications.
Good for you.
Followed by one of the worst things that happened to me.
And what was that?
Getting burnt internally in my prostate with a microwave catheter for an hour and a half.
How did that happen?
That happened because I... Yeah, and it really did happen. And in Canada, you can't sue a doctor like you can in the States. And that triggered neurological damage because the microwaves went past the prostate into the lower spine.
Oh, my God. Do we have to talk about this? You're killing me.
I swear I'm telling you the truth. And I wasn't given that long to live. This was...
Are you kidding me?
February the 11th, 1994. And I had graduated in 92, so I wasn't able to use my degree for over 13 years.
Oh, my.
And I had, in fact, done some real radio, but I've recently, like, it just gets more bizarre. Things seem to follow me, like names and numbers. I once lived in a place, Suite 1A, 1934 Portage. And I actually got that address. I had to decide between that address and another address. And I decided on that address because it matched seat 1A for the Rolling Stones concert that was in town. So I ended up moving to Chilliwack, B.C., and I had home care. This was after I had gotten burned. And my home care worker's name in Winnipeg was Joanne, and I ended up in a place in Chilliwack that was Suite 1A, 1934, and I don't remember the name of the street, and I had a worker named Joanne. I had a cat for 9 years, and it died a week after I was robbed of everything I owned.
Oh, my gosh. So you truly have had a series of more bad things happen to you, it sounds like, than good things. Because, look, I love broadcasting. But honestly, if the best thing in your life was just getting your communications degree, the bad things really must have gotten to you. Okay, thanks. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Yes, George. Good evening. This is Wink.
I know this name, Wink, because you've called before.
Yes.
And I met you.
Yes. I'm from Los Angeles, and I had to go to Roswell to meet you.
Yep, I remember that. You came up to me and said, "Hi, I'm Wink," and I went, "What?" But then it dawned on me who you were.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'm gracious also for your staff keeping me on so long, even after the good reverend is gone.
Okay.
At this point. But I had a question for him, and this is also ties in with seeing the talks at Roswell, and I'd never experienced this before. I saw or sat in on two talks at Roswell that were specifically dedicated to the idea that the space aliens that, you know, are reputed to be coming down here and whatever, sightings or abducting people, are actually fallen angels from heaven.
That is a theory of a few, actually.
Yeah. And one person in particular had this whole thing about, well, we've got a process wherein people that are complaining of being abducted by aliens can now accept Jesus Christ and, you know, whatever, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, depart, and these aliens go away and never return. At least this is their claim. And I was just blown away that, you know, here we are in Roswell, where it's supposed to be the biggest crash, or at least record, or at least by telling, of the biggest crash ever, or the first one. And the one question I had for one of the gentlemen there was, as well, does this mean that all of this is all supernatural and none of it's alien? And that was their position.
Who was the speaker? Because, you know, I came in and did the show, but I didn't participate in any of the conference speeches. Who was that person? Do you know?
Oh, boy. You know what?
You got it with you? You got the program?
I have my UFO program.
So let's see who it is. Probably somebody who might have been on the program before. Gotta be.
And it was interesting because the title of his talk was The Unwanted, here it is, The Unwanted Piece of the Puzzle, Research the UFO Community Doesn't Want You to See, Joseph Jordan.
Joseph Jordan. I don't know if Joseph Jordan has been on the program or not, Wink. I don't. Okay, thanks for the call. Let's go next to our West of the Rockies. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Hi, this is Maureen from San Diego.
Well, welcome to the show.
Hi. I just like to know, today is my birthday.
Happy birthday to you, too.
Thank you. I just like to know, how come the number 13 is such a bad omen?
Well, I mean, it goes way back where you know, I mean, where people were slaughtered during the Crusades, I believe. I mean, it goes way back. And they were butchered, and you know, it was on a Friday the 13th, so it was bad luck. And then, you know, things get out of control and things get changed, and I think that's what's happened over the years. And now it's the bad luck superstitious day.
Yeah, I should say it's not always bad luck. My birthday has fallen on Friday the 13th before, and I'm still here.
Well, you're still here. I think it has a lot to do, like the Ouija board. It's going to be a bad day for you if you believe it will be.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a Friday the 13th. For me, it's been a great day.
Yeah.
And I'm having a great time today.
Yeah. I miss Art Bell.
Yeah, Art's a good guy.
Yeah.
Is he going to listen to our tribute show Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
Thank you. I'm calling from Arizona.
Arizona.
Arizona, yes. And I want to tell you a story about, I have been living for 3 years off the grid on a mountaintop in Arizona.
All by yourself?
Yes. And I lived in Manhattan and Santa Monica. I've lived all over, but I've never lived like this.
You're living in a little house up on the top of a mountain?
In a little 14-foot trailer. I just moved off 2 months ago, so that's why I'm able to call you.
And you're up there by yourself right now?
Well, I've just moved off. I've been off the mountain now for 2 months. I still have the land up there. I still have the mountain, the trailer.
Yeah, but I mean, you were up there by yourself.
Yes, by myself. For 3 years I did it. And I couldn't get you at night. I could get you sometimes, but it was always like that. And then you'd come in clear for a little bit, and then the minute you started, something interesting would come on. It'd go off, and I'd have to move my little transistor.
So are you telling me you came down from the mountaintop just to hear Coast to Coast?
Well, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to be on the mountain.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it is. But and what's interesting is this is the first time I called. I've had a lot of unusual experiences happen to me, but this was the most frightening and the most unusual. And it happened last November. And because I couldn't hear your show, maybe other people have had this experience too or seen this.
What happened?
I was asleep, and I had two dogs up there. And the Rottweiler was in the trailer with me. It's a little 14-foot trailer. And I have to bungee cord the door shut because my second night there, when I pulled the trailer up and I came back, someone had broken the lock off the trailer.
Oh, jeez.
And the reason I bought the land is because I saw this huge mountain lion. So anyway, I ended up getting a gun. And I had a gun. I sleep with a gun under my pillow.
Are you Annie Oakley or what?
Kind of. But anyway, I've never been afraid up there. I've never been afraid.
All right, I want you to hold because we're going to take this break and we'll come right back at the point where you've bought this gun and you've bungeed your door closed. We'll be back. After Dark Newsletter, you can pick that up where you get 14 issues for the price of 12 by calling 1-888-727-5505. After Dark, it's a great newsletter magazine, part of Coast to Coast AM. You can also get it by going to coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to our Friday the 13th lines. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing good. My name's Ed. I'm calling you from Mississippi.
Okay, Ed.
I got a question for you. I hear a lot about people that go camping. They get attacked by Bigfoot. They go to the store. They get abducted by aliens. They stop to change a tire, and a lizard man jumps on their car. Most of my adult life, I spent in my working field for one reason or another, alone at night, generally in the woods, in the military, in jungles, and I'm a police officer now. I patrol a buffer zone around a NASA test facility. I'm out here all night, 125,000 acres of nothing. I never see anything, and I'm just wondering, is that do you think it's a certain mindset or a certain type of person that's approached?
You know, Ed, I think it's being in the right place at the right time, the wrong place at the wrong time. It just, you know, you just probably have been lucky, fortunate. You know,
I guess that's one way of looking at it.
I mean, I'm like you. A lot of strange things haven't happened to me. I mean, I get these psychic feelings, the intuitive feelings. I just told you about a dream I had. I get a lot of those, but in terms of seeing ghosts, no. I've seen these rodents, little shadow rodents, but that's really not a lot. It just doesn't happen to me. I wish it would. I wish I could see a UFO. I wish I could do another astral body projection. It's just not happening.
Just never seen one, never had one happen. I'm just curious about that. The one that I heard somewhere not too long ago, there was a 6-foot German Shepherd type running on two legs chasing somebody down the
road. Yeah, or how about last week the lady called me and there was a bullfrog on the side of the road standing up on its two, waving at her.
Waving at her, right. They throw me. I have a partner. My German Shepherd's 120 pounds, and we get out. There's a lot of abandoned graveyards that NASA took over, and they maintain them, but there's nothing around them. And we get out, and I never see a reaction out of him. I never see anything. You know, I watch his movements. I'm keyed to what he's looking at.
Yeah.
And I never see anything. He never reacts. He looks around and sniffs and gets back in the car. And I was just curious. That was what my main.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Let's go to our first-time caller line. As we promised, you were, in your trailer. You bought yourself a gun. You had bungeed your door closed. Pick it up from there.
Right, but, you know, I just heard that gentleman there. A lot of things have happened to me, and this one was unusual things, and I don't think it's a mindset because they just come when you least suspect.
And this happened to you while you were up there on the hill?
Yeah, this did. I had been up there 3 years, and this was last November. And I had gone to bed in the trailer. I listened to you every night. And so it was after 2 o'clock, and I couldn't say really what. I know it was very late. And I woke up, and the Rottweiler was in the trailer with me that night. And I woke up, and my back was to where the door would be, which was in the center of the trailer. And I was scared. I mean, I woke up just scared to death, and my heart was pounding, and I didn't know why I was so scared, and then I just thought, somebody's in the trailer. But then my mind said, well, the dog would have made noise, you know, and someone could have been because of the bungee cord, you know, maybe the dogs pushed their way out, or the dog did, and anyway, I'm laying there, and I'm scared to death, and I wanted to roll over and see. I thought, if they push the door open, there'll be some light coming from the door, where the door is. I finally got up enough nerve and it took a long time and a lot of nerve to roll over just to see if somebody was in the trailer.
Oh, God, you didn't want to do it, did you?
I didn't want to do it. And I'm telling you, I've been there up there three years and never have been scared, never. And I was so scared, and I rolled over, and from the light coming from the two windows in the front of the trailer, there was a silhouette right by my bed, and it was a big head, but I thought it was my dog, the Rottweiler.
You were hoping it was your
dog. No, I thought it was. I really did. And I went, phew, like, what, you know. And I reached over as I start to roll back over onto my side again, away from her. I reached out, and I tapped her head twice, and I said, good girl. And I didn't even have my hand back over and down when I realized I had padded hair, not a dog's head, but hair.
Ooh, like human hair.
Human hair. And then my heart started pounding again, and now I'm turned away again, totally rolled back over, and I'm scared to death, and I don't know what to do. And I felt the middle of the mattress sink down behind me, and it's like a twin-size bed, and the mattress sunk in, and then I was out. I just passed out. I don't know. I thought maybe.
What, you passed out? This horrible thing is going on, and you pass out?
All of a sudden, I'm not aware. The next thing I know, I'm coming aware again, and I'm scared again. I wake up scared again, and my back is still to the facing the end of the trailer.
All right.
And I feel something stretched out beside me on the bed behind me, and my mind again went to my dog, and then my mind said, no, you know, I remembered the hair. And all I could think about was my gun, which was under the pillow, but behind me under the pillow, up behind me.
Well, let me ask you one question. You said you bungee-doored shut, right?
Right.
Is there any way that door would open?
The door wasn't open because light wasn't.
There's no way. Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah, no, it could be opened, but it wasn't
open. Not if you bungeed it shut.
Well, it was bungeed shut, but there was no light filtering from that area.
I know, but my point is there any way somebody could open it, stretch the bungee, and sneak in?
No, not.
All right, okay. All right, go ahead. No. So what happened?
So anyway, I'm thinking it's my dog, and then my mind said, no, remember, you pat hair, you know? And I'm thinking, I've got to get my gun. And then I was out again, went right back out again. And then I woke up again, and I was on my stomach.
Why are you waking up and going out all the time?
I don't know. That's part of the whole thing. I tried to rationalize it the next day, like I made myself pass out. But now, let me finish the story, and I'll tell you. So then I'm on my stomach, and I wake up, and all I can think of is, I've got to get my gun. Now I've got to stretch my right hand out and underneath the pillow. And I pushed myself up, like just raised the top part of my body. And there's this guy, and he's laying. He is actually on the pillow on the side that the gun is on. And he's laying on his elbow, and he's just looking.
Oh, come on.
I swear.
A real guy, a human, not a spirit, not a ghost?
It was a guy. It was a young man.
How the heck he get in there?
This is the thing, though. Let me finish. So I look at him. And he was absolutely beautiful. And that's the only thing I could say is he was beautiful. I just looked up at him, and he was just looking at me. And I laid back down and went right back out again. And then the next thing I know, I'm laying on my back. And it's not like I wake up. It's like all of a sudden I become aware. And I'm on my back, and he's sitting on the side of the bed looking at me.
Smoking a cigarette.
Down near my legs, and he's looking at me, and there's more light in the trailer now, so morning is starting to come, and he's just looking at me, and he had like almost to a shoulder length wavy hair, dark hair, and really black eyes. I remember his eyes.
It sounds like Chris Angel was in your trailer.
And then I'm just looking at him, and all I can think of while I'm laying there, we're just looking in each other's eyes, and all I could think of is, he's beautiful. He's absolutely beautiful.
Well, are you ever going to get to the story with how he got in there?
I don't know how he got in there. And then
you bungeed him in there. I bet he was in there hiding.
No,
did he hurt
no,
you? I, hold on. Don't give me all this. Did he hurt you?
No. It's only a 14-foot trailer.
All right, and then what? How did he leave? You opened up the door and he left?
No, he's sitting there, and I'm looking at his eyes, and he looked towards the front of the trailer, and when he did, I realized he was flawless. I saw his jawline, and I'm laying, and I'm thinking, he's flawless. And he looked back at me, right in my eyes again, and then he looked forward again towards the trailer, and he held it there, and I'm going, he's absolutely, and then I realized, his skin started to shimmer, and it was like luminescent, and he was blue. And I went, he's blue. And he looked back at me, and that's the last thing I remember. And then I was gone again.
And then when you woke up, he was gone.
It was morning, and he was gone. And, I mean, that was in my trailer. He didn't let himself in or out. My dog was in the trailer the next morning.
Can you hide in your trailer anywhere?
No, it's only 14-foot trailer.
So why don't you stay up on the hill hoping he would come back? Sounds like you like the guy.
He was gorgeous. But I wasn't afraid of him after I saw him. That's the thing. I mean, I was so scared when I woke up, but I wasn't afraid of him.
And you have no idea who he was?
I have no idea. And he wasn't really a guy because he was blue. And
oh, no. If he dematerialized, he obviously was not a human being. That is one weird moment. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Oh, thanks for, I'd just like to say thanks to the entire staff of Coast to Coast and you.
Well, thank you. You're very nice of you.
I'd also like to thank Father Daniel for his work helping people with...
He's a good guy. We're going to get him back.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to add, well, I'll just get to my other few points and get to the last point about Father Daniel. Everyone talks about numbers like 666 or... I mean, wasn't there a time in mankind's history where the number was like 616 or 676?
Yeah, I think you may be right.
And, like, that brings me to another point. Okay, people think 13 is a bad luck number. Well, I think it's what people put into that.
I don't even remember anymore if there's a 13 row in a plane. I can't remember because I won't sit there. I can't remember. Somebody send me a fast blast on that. I know there are no 13 floors, are there? Floor 13, is there? Danny, do we have a 13th floor here? No, there's no 13th floor in our building. I wonder why people do that. I bet because they don't like that number.
I guess not. But
some people don't want to work on the 13th floor or sit in the 13th row. They don't.
Also, well, just the last 2 points. What Father Daniel, I mean, what you talked about, the old hag.
Yeah.
I come from an Eastern, Asian background.
Okay.
I'm from Japan.
All right, sure.
Not Japanese, Korean. Okay, automatically Father Daniel talks about Lilith, the night hag. Well, we understand this concept about the pressing of the chest, something trying to either suck your energy away or get into you.
Sure.
As you know, with people who commit suicide, sometimes they get lost on this plane of existence and they just roam around. And certain people are, attract certain spirits towards them, like, you know, human souls or perhaps dark souls. I don't want to elaborate too much, but from what I've studied or from what I've heard, the pressing of the chest, they're trying to enter through you to find some sort of comfort. And I'm not trying to, like, down Father Daniel. I'm just saying, has he studied, like, Eastern, like, has he studied things about that from, like, other cultures? Because there's a lot of belief systems out there. And as being myself as non-secular as possible, possibly I am, I know, I always find people in Coast to Coast always, like, they stick to their own groups. But I feel that by studying other cultures or...
Well, that's how you learn.
Well, yeah, yes, sir. And I don't know.
Well, I think he's pretty adept at some other cultures. Yeah, I mean, he may not be versed at everything, but he studied. I mean, he's an intelligent guy, and you know, he knows what he's talking about.
Oh yeah, I wish I had a chance to talk to him. He sounded very smart, and he got his points across, and I truly enjoyed listening tonight. But that brings me to the last point. I wouldn't really worry about the people warning about the Ouija board.
Oh yeah, thing. It's coming out of the woodwork now.
But I mean, okay, obviously, you know, for young people, it might, you know, they might mimic you or copy you. But
that's what I'm concerned about now. I did not really. I thought about it, but not until Brad Steiger and Sherry started talking about it. I'm concerned that people might. You know, it's like kids don't do this at home. I wonder how many people might do it at home. I'm not concerned about you listening on your radio and something happening. I don't think that's going to happen. But I am concerned about people trying to duplicate what we're trying to do.
I just hope people out there, like, they try not to, people out there not to be apathetic. Try to keep an open mind. And I maybe Ouija boards are bad. I've never tried it myself, but I think it's what you... put into it. I mean,
and what you expect to put to get out of it.
Perhaps. Like I said, I'm not an expert. I listen to the show all the time, but I just felt like calling in and, you know, expressing my 2 cents.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Yeah. Tony Blair, by the way, former Prime Minister of England, United Kingdom, sent his first text today on his cell phone. He didn't know how to do that before. I don't know how many of you are adept at texting. But it's the new craze now. People do that all the time. Even I do that now. I don't talk as much on the cell as I do texting now. And I will not text while driving, though I will say I'm guilty of reading it once in a while. But Tony Blair learned for the first time today how to text himself on his phone. Isn't that something? Isn't that remarkable? Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you, George?
Good.
I'm going to make a Friday the 13th like prediction that someday, because of my discovery that I really think that I found, I'll be on your show talking with you and discussing and looking at photos and I really think that you'll help me bring it out into the world.
What did you discover?
Well, I really think that I have taken a picture of a white hole wormhole.
Are you an astronomer?
No, I'm not. I'm a single mom. I work for a professional baseball team.
Oh yeah,
nothing to do with any of my studies. It just I.
What team do you work?
No, I can't say.
Boston Red Sox.
No. I can't tell you.
Tigers.
Okay, go Tigers.
Aha!
No, I'm just kidding.
All right. So, anyways, tell me about this hole that you have photographed.
Right. Well, in April of 2005, this is how I actually started, we just started taking pictures of the backyard, and just happened to get, like, multiple, what you would consider, some people will call them like orbs or round lights.
Yes,
in
orbs.
The distance. This happens nightly. I mean, I can actually take photos on a nightly basis. You know, there's some photos that there's none, and some there's like thousands of them. And
I get a lot of orb photos. So far, I haven't seen the reason to put you on the show.
No. What I'm saying is that if I can actually prove that there is a white hole wormhole, and actually disprove the Schwarzschild theory that Einstein has, that it does not exist, where two universes actually, like, interconnect.
All right. Have you walked through this hole?
No. Actually, I respect it. It's in the backyard.
Can you can you accidentally walk through it?
No, but I've photographed it. I have pictures of it.
Does it?
I've sent them to you.
I haven't seen them.
Okay, well.
When did you send them? Physically or via computer?
No, your email.
When did you do this?
I was on the show about 2 months ago. And I got to talk to Art Bell, and he's actually seen these.
Maybe he took them.
No, he didn't take those photos.
Well, send us some more. Tommy's junk. Wait a minute. My staff has taken them and never told me about them. They are now saying they have your photos.
Yes, they've seen them. They're absolutely
Thanks, staff. They really know how to jump on a big breaking story when they see it, don't they?
Well, what I'm thinking about is, in this day and age, my gosh, if I could actually disprove an Einstein theory, I mean, me just being, I mean, this is all new information to me.
All right, I tell you what, now that we know they have them,
yeah,
I'll sit down and look at them, and I assume we still have your email, and we'll see what it is. We'll see how it is. We're not worthy.
Yes, it is. It's very worthy. And you could actually come here on the property, and you could actually come here and take photos with me and look at the backyard. You can see the light entering the property and exiting the property.
Well, this is a trick. You just told me you're a single mother. This is a trick
to capture
me.
No.
It is.
It'd be great to have you here, but I mean, I need help. This is something I think that's really huge.
Okay, I'll take a look at it. My gosh, the hour's gone, but two more to go. Open lines, Friday the 13th on Coast to Coast AM.